Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Psalm of the day, Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. In particular, I'd like to draw our attention as we begin this message to verses 8 and 10, where the very same question is repeated. Who is this King of Glory? And verse 8 answers the question, Yahweh, strong and mighty, Yahweh, the mighty warrior. And verse 10 answers, Yahweh of armies, he is the King of Glory. This is our text. Now this psalm, written by the great King David, speaks of a far greater king than David or any earthly king could ever dream of being. Five times in four verses, he is referred to as being synonymous with Yahweh. He is the King of Glory. In the earlier verses of this psalm, David identifies this king's realm as, quote, the earth and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For no other reason but that he is, as verse 2 says, the one who founded and established it all in the first place. But then King David asks the question that is always, I think, pondered by those who are not the king. Well, how accessible is this king? Is he just sitting on his throne, closed away from his people? Does he even care about us lowlifes? Or does he actually want to interact with us and have some kind of meaningful relationship? Is he ruling only for his own glory? Or does he rule for us? For our good. David asked the question in verse 3 that kind of gets at this. Who shall ascend the hill of Yahweh, and who shall stand in his holy place? Now, throughout Holy Scripture, the true believers of Yahweh have acknowledged that the universe has two stories, so to speak, two levels of existence that David speaks of in this beautiful psalm before us today. There is the lower level, the track of human history that is deeply and constantly rooted with sin. And there is the upper level, where God the Creator sits and reigns supreme and unopposed over all. But as David says, these two levels of existence are not isolated from each other. In fact, they intersect continually. But of course, not the way that everyone in the world believes things are, is it? No. The common assumption and majority understanding of mankind is that we humans, we are in control of our own destiny. That we are our own kings, queens, and rulers. So much so that it even creeps into the lives of many who claim to believe that God is their king, when in reality they have deceived themselves. The ways that this false understanding actually show up among us are, of course, too many to list. But here are a couple. First, when bad things happen, if our default conclusion is that, well, God must not care about me, or God must not be the loving God that he claims to be, or he would have stopped it from happening. Well, that's when our emotions are actually taking over and redefining God and his involvement with us, instead of embracing the true King of Glory, who invites us all, as we hear in our gospel reading today, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Second, when our fear of rejection or our desire to be accepted by everyone takes hold of us, and we buy into the commonly declared mantra that, quote, all people everywhere are children of God, so it doesn't really matter what you believe, then again, we have sought to take charge of defining for ourselves what is true, and we deny God's word in our epistle reading from 1 Peter 2, verse 10, that clearly describes all people before coming to faith in Christ as being outside of God's family. It says, once you were not a people. That means you weren't children of God. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The good news highlighted there in that verse, though, is that we who believe in and embrace the true triune God, the one that David identifies in Psalm 24 using God's personal name of Yahweh, we know that even as he is the King of glory on his heavenly throne, he is also actively and intimately guiding the track of human history toward the goal that he has set, toward his predetermined final day of judgment and salvation. And he has been caring for, and he has been guiding our track from the very beginning of history, when he promised Adam and Eve that he would send an heir in human flesh to buy them and all sinful flesh back from the curse that our sin and disobedience brought upon our souls. Ever since the first sin, when Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit in the garden. As Martin Luther in his small catechism defines it from Scripture, none of us are innocent of sin. He says, quote, sin is every thought, desire, word, and deed which is contrary to God's law, unquote. And so, yes, folks, we have ourselves to blame for the fact that there is a separation, a division between this earthly level of existence and God's upper level of perfection. But thankfully, as King David leads us to understand again in verse 3, that separation is not insurmountable as long as we humble ourselves to the rule and reign and plan of Yahweh, our King, that is. David asked again, who shall ascend the hill of Yahweh, and who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4 sounds daunting. It actually shows that the way to heaven is in fact impossible for those who want to believe they are in control of their own destiny. This is who verse 4 says may approach the King. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Ah, but Pastor, I know you have to be thinking this, some of you at least. Pastor, that leaves every single human being out. Because none of us have hands or hearts that are not soiled and contaminated by sin. Which is true. But verse 5 puts the cleansing work of souls and the work of bringing the King together with his people into the correct realm. It says, he will receive blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from God, the God of his salvation. How do you and I and every soul that is saved receive the blessing from Yahweh so that we can come up into His saving presence? By the fact that He first came down to us in the form of human flesh and bone, in the human birth of God the Father, Son, Jesus, on that first Christmas more than 2,000 years ago. Yes, it's Jesus as a 33-year-old man here in this earthly track of time, having lived His entire life to perfection, never committing even one sin ever. He's the one who willingly had every single one of your sins and mine and that of every man and woman ever to live placed upon Him. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And now David in verse 7 speaks of the gates of God's sanctuary, the place where His subjects enter into His presence, which is often understood to be our own hearts and minds. And he says, lift up your heads and be lifted up that the King of glory may come in. Yahweh, through Jesus, has done all of the work. He is, as verse 8 says, the King who is strong and mighty. Now the Hebrew literally says He is the, quote, mighty warrior, who waged war in a face-to-face, bloody, deadly battle, even allowing His and mankind's enemy, Satan, to think that he had won the war when Jesus gave up His life on the cross, when He was pierced for our transgressions, when He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But what Satan prematurely saw as his victory, and what unbelievers still today see as a sign of God's weakness, you and I, we boldly know that it is the greatest display of Yahweh in verse 10 as the victor, as the king over all armies everywhere. You see, what is often translated as Lord Almighty, or Lord of Hosts, as we have in the ESV in your bulletin, it is literally in the Hebrew, Yahweh of Armies. Oh, that's so much better. Yahweh of Armies. This is the picture of the King of Glory leading His army of victorious angels after they have won the battle up into His eternal throne room. And guess what? You and I, as His people, we are not left out of that fanfare. No, Psalm 24 calls us all, in the Holy Spirit's gift of faith, to lift up our heads and ascend into the loving, caring, ruling, protecting, and saving presence of the King of Glory, where we bask in his victory as recipients of His righteousness at this moment right now and forevermore. And how and when do we do that? Well, I just said, we're doing it right now. You see, the temple in Jerusalem, the place where God promised to be physically present among His people as their king, was, as Isaiah says in our Old Testament reading, was on the highest point of Mount Zion. And from that time on, we Christians have understood that no matter the actual geography, we always, always, even here at Mount Calvary, we go up into worship. We lift up our heads in joy to receive our Savior's gifts of word and sacrament, to be blessed by Him, to be strengthened, as our epistle reading says, as His chosen race, His royal priesthood, His holy nation, His people for His own possession. Is your self-worth feeling a little better right now? It should. But it's all about Him, isn't it? And it's right here in His divine service of word and sacrament. So what is our purpose then? While we remain here in this earthly tract of the universe. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 continues, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, that is our King of glory, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What? It's not just the pastor that's supposed to be proclaiming? If you are His precious possession and His chosen people, you are that for the purpose of proclaiming His excellencies. In other words, our King honors you and me with the charge, with the privilege of being His emissaries, His representatives, His missionaries to the rest of this sin-darkened world. He wants every person, every single soul, to join in the celebration and the glory of His victory over sin and death for us. And that role as Yahweh's missionaries is in part what we remember and celebrate today when we remember and we speak of the work of the LWML, the Lutheran Women in Mission. In our bulletin today, the white insert, on that you have a list of 31 organizations or needs that these women of the LWML around the country desire to help and come alongside so that more people can receive our King's love and help, so that they can actually hear of His epic battle and be brought into His eternal victory for their souls as well. He is not just a king up there somewhere, folks, separated and distant from you and me and our struggles and issues here in this earthly level of existence. No, He is with us in the body and blood of Jesus, given and shed on the cross that is now fed to us in Holy Communion for our strength and our help and our forgiveness. He is with us in the waters of our baptism, where He opened up His arms and embraced us with His Holy Spirit and adopted us for eternity into His family. A fearful little girl, sleeping alone in the darkness of her room one night, cried out to mom and dad as a storm rolled across her Midwest town. "Mommy, Daddy, come here!" she cried out in the dark that night as that storm cracked and roared as if it was right there in the room with her. Mom and Dad, of course, consoled her and reminded her that they were just across the hall in the next room, but that God is in the room with her, so she doesn't need to be afraid. But awakened again and again by that rolling and roaring storm, she finally said to her parents as they entered her room the last time, "I know you said that God is here with me, but I need someone in here with skin on them." Dear Christians, as you and I look through the heavenly eyes of the King of Glory in the darkness and the storms of this sinful world, we clearly see the promise, the providence, the provision, the protection of God for His people. We see it in Jesus. He is Yahweh, the King of Glory, with skin on Him, even today. The God who not only took on flesh, but also the sin of all humanity in His body, his skin, and he died to pay for the sins of this entire earthly part of God's great universe. And he has now placed not only the women of the LWML, but every one of us here in this world. He has placed us here with human skin to be his missionaries, to lift up the eyes of more and more people in every day to see this King coming in victory for their redemption and life as well as yours. And to see it now and into eternity. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus, today and forever. Amen.